says, my fellow Americans, the Bears still suck!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
For the first time since 2002, draft a wide receiver.
Wow! There it is! For the first time since 2002, the Green Bay Packers have selected a wide receiver.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Goes to the end zone. It is a one-handed grab and a Texas touchdown by Matthew Golden.
You're setting up. Pump it. It takes a shot. Middle of the field. He's got Golden. Golden makes the catch despite getting hit as the ball arrived by Terrell.
To stay alive.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So clearly he saw some sort of deficiency within that wide receiver room, and now he goes out and addresses it here. I think Packer fans everywhere are going to be thrilled with this pick.
Now broadcasting live from the shadow of Lambeau Field in Green Bay at the Tundra Trio with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wants.
Matthew Golden is a Packer wide receiver out of Texas, picked last night with the 23rd pick here at Lambeau Field, site of the NFL draft. I can't believe I just put all those words together and that they were a real statement, Gabe. I mean, that sounded like a Mad Lib.
Somehow it did happen. Was not a fever dream last night that Mark Murphy stepped up to the podium and read off Matthew Golden's name as the Packers pick at number 23.
And for some reason, it's crazy how this works, too, but like, I feel like there's so much more momentum right now, momentum headed into round two. You could make the argument that every single year there's more pomp and circumstance for the first round pick, but that the second day and the third day matter more to building your roster from a sheer quantity standpoint, you know, and again, the impact that those picks can have on the improvement of the team, the evolution of the team. But for some reason, I feel more momentum right now headed into day two, headed into day three than I think I ever have. Can that carry you? Can that sort of feel good vibes, Chew, you think, help you over the next 2 days in the draft?
Yeah, because they filled a huge hole, and we expect him to come in and contribute right away, which we don't out of later round picks. Now, they still have holes. My guess is in the second round, they're probably going to go edge or corner, which are other holes. That's why I think the whole best player available is . You fill holes. When you're good and you're close, you fill holes. So I think that's what they're going to plan on doing in the next couple rounds. Obviously, there's some holes on the offensive line, not starters, but they got to start backfilling positions along with the D-line, and you'll see it go along those lines, I believe.
Ashton with the ding. Now he's paying attention. Good. How was that for a shot?
Wow.
That wasn't even veiled at all. That was just straight.
Well, the fact that you thought the first one was veiled.
I did, because I didn't say his name. This time I was just like, Ashton Rotman, can you play the music? So what's next, Chew? What do they need to address now on day two? Obviously, we had thought that they would maybe go defensive line with the edge position. We thought maybe they would continue bolstering the cornerback role since we don't know what's going on with Jair. What do you want to see them address now on the clock for day two?
I would like them to trade up, get a guy who can have an impact this year, someone who they really like, which I'm sure there are a handful of players out there, and then backfill the rest. Look, and I've said it a million times, when you have a good team, right, there's only so many spots going into training camp, right? Bad teams have in the teens, right? Bad teams. Tennessee Titans, who are, you know, obviously had the first pick of the draft and one of the worst teams talent-wise in the league, they got 15 positions open going into training camp. The Packers don't. That's why I'm not I think the more picks is not always – you don't need that when you're – have a team that is in the top 10 when it comes to roster talent. Backfill positions in your later round, but go up and get someone who you think can make an impact this year or next year, because the window is open. That's how I would attack it.
I got bad news for you, pal. Got bad news. They ain't moving up. They're not going to move up. If anything, they move back
and try to get some more of those picks, because it is just a sheer numbers game when it comes to, hey, yeah, maybe we don't have that many spot roster spots available, but you know, if the more competition we have at some of these spots, the better the team's going to ultimately be. I'm hoping they go edge rusher in the second round. Hoping that, I mean, Mike Green, Devin Ezoraku are two guys that were talked about potentially being first round picks. I doubt they last to, as far as the Packers, you know, in the mid to late second round. Nick Skowerton is somebody out of Texas A&M that I've been higher on.
I pay attention to Jordan Birch from Oregon. They had him in on a visit as okay. well. And then the kid from SMU as well, whose name's escaping me. Those are two second and third round options I would be keeping an eye on for the Packers. And I don't know if they'll need to go up to get either of those two guys there. It seems like the Packers can kind of wait it out. This is where the trade down comes, second or third round, right? And they get their extra picks that Goody's been saying he wanted.
I just wouldn't do that. Because, you know what, let me tell you what, guys. You look at the receiver room going into mini camps in this year's camp as opposed to last year, right? Last year we expected one of those receivers to step up to become a number one, right? They were comfortable. They knew none of them were getting cut, right? They were very comfortable. No one grabbed it. Now it's different. That receiver room has become uncomfortable, you know? And you know what that spurs? Competition, and it should elevate guys. You don't elevate your game because they draft a guy like Golden in the first round, then you're going to be out. And Romeo Doubs, I'll tell you this, and Christian Watson's dad should shut up. You want to pout? You want to pout? Go ahead and pout. But you know what? You know what's going to happen if you pout? Homegrown would say, bus ticket and an apple. See you later. Maybe a map we'll give you, right? But this is going to spur competition, and it's going to make that room better. And that's why I would like them, if there's a DN that they like, go up and get them.
But Chewy, this part of the draft is meaty. Mm-hmm. Like, this is where there's a lot of talent. You know, there weren't necessarily a lot of top 15, top flight talent. Maybe the Packers found one with Matthew Golden. As we mentioned, Mel Kiper had him as 16th overall. Maybe he can be one of those guys. But this is the meaty part of the draft. And there are a lot of guys that are going to have very similar grades. So that competition you talk about, if Goody trades back 5, 6, 7, 8 spots, there's still probably going to be a pretty good player that's
but
pretty
they still
similar
have guys
skill-wise.
They love, Gabe. But they still have guys they love. They still have guys they love. And they've done it in the second round. They traded up to get guys in the
It's a combination of guys, I think. Yeah, they traded up to get Christian Watson, when they had extra picks. But I don't know. Again, they decided to take Matthew Golden, too, because they loved him. They had the offers on the table. They decided Matthew Golden's the guy. I don't know if they feel that strongly about a specific guy, because there are so many different players with second-round grades.
So a couple of things as we go through the list of the best available players. Will Johnson is number one on that list. He was last night as well. We had talked about how I believe he dealt with turf toe last season. I believe there was a hamstring injury that kept him out of the pro day. And now there's talk of him having a knee injury. And again, maybe you don't think the Packers need to address cornerback with their next pick, and they probably won't since they're 50. Somebody's going to take Will Johnson is the point. He didn't go in the first round likely because of these injury concerns. You guys talked about Mike Green. He right now is the number one edge on the board. He will likely not be there when the Packers are there, although, sorry, he does have a couple of sexual assault allegations in his past. He has denied them, but maybe that is giving some teams some pause there. Then you talked about Ezoraku from Boston College. While they say he has a devastating swim move, there are times it says that he can get lost against offensive linemen. Am I right about that, with Ezoraku from Boston College, Joshy?
Yeah, there's a little uncertainty. I mean, that's why he's there. Edge rusher, as we know, is a premium, and the fact that so many are sticking around means there's enough concerns that people are pointing fingers and I mean, making some picks, frankly, at the end of that first round that people weren't sure were going to be there.
At least he has a move.
Compared to the guys the Packers currently have. Is that the joke there? Yeah. Then it's Jordan Birch, the edge out of Jordan. And I'm skipping positions that we don't believe the Packers have any business or any interest in. You don't think they go wide receiver again, right? We're done. There's no...
I wouldn't be shocked.
Not done, but I'm talking about for the second pick or the third pick.
I would be shocked if they took a wide receiver.
So Jordan Birch is the edge from Oregon. He's the next edge on the list. He could be available. They've got him ranked currently as the 20th best best player available. Do you like Jordan Birch potentially as an edge guy?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think they're just looking for, again, just a body to kind of help them out. Like you said, there's a lot of different guys that are going to be available at that edge spot that are going to have questions. And that, again, we'll see if the new defensive line coach can actually coach these guys up, since that was the scapegoat this offseason. But that's what you're going to need. You're going to need somebody, no matter who you end up taking, if it's an edge in the second round, it's going to have to be, all right, there are some questions about you. That's why you fell to the second round. Can we help you address those questions?
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to, including how much closer does Matthew Golden, if he lives up to his potential, if he can be a wide receiver one for the Green Bay Packers, how much closer does his addition get the Packers to the other dynamic duos, the other dynamic pass-catching duos that you see in the NFC North? We'll break that down right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where my friends at Mentality come in. A local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. So what does it mean? You have low testosterone. Maybe you're tired, groggy. Just don't feel like yourself. And not just because, you know, you were up late last night and had to get up early today because you were watching the draft. No, this could just be kind of an every feeling. You just don't feel like yourself. Those could be signs of low testosterone. Mentality can help, just like they've helped me. You go in, go through their process, get a blood panel done, results come back within a week, and if your testosterone levels are low, start working with Mentality. It is easy. They can come up with a customized testosterone treatment plan to make you feel like yourself in no time. There's no better safe and insured medical solution available. Just go to the website, lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Find out more, lowtusa.com.
How do you get to 10 in NFL in the football game? How do you do that?
You can have 5 safeties.
That's a great point.
Which would also be a great endorsement for Derek Carr.
2 field goals, 2 safeties.
2 field goals, 2 safeties.
Also a great endorsement for the quarterback. Continue. Yes. What else do we have?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and we have loved having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. As you know, my husband Dario and I, we're not the most handy people, but we can handle a few little things. When it's too big for us, we call our friends at PCI. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your home projects. They've been in the business for 20 years, and you know, you don't just stick around because you're good looking. Learn more about PCI and see their work at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
You watch him. His, you know, we thought he arguably had some of the best hands in the draft. You know, not only coming back to it and running through it, but it, when he tracked it over his shoulder and stuff too. So he's a strong athlete, you know. So he's really versatile. He's going to do a lot of things, but we certainly felt that he could play outside, and that was important to us.
So Matthew Golden is a member of the Green Bay Packers. People very excited about it. I'm still seeing the reaction rolling in on the YouTube stream. You can always stream our show on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and on the Carbless Talk and Text line. It seems like people are very excited. And I got to believe, guys, that one of the reasons people are excited about this is because they have seen the numbers. They have seen the production that the Vikings dynamic duo wide receivers have done, that the Lions dynamic duo wide receivers have done, that even the Bears, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, last season were able to do, even with rookie quarterback Caleb Williams throwing them the rock. And I think they saw there was a disparity. I think they saw that I got the numbers right here in front of me. Justin Jefferson, 1,300 plus yards. Jordan Addison, 900 yards. Amon-Ra, 1,100 yards. Jameson Williams, over 1,000 yards receiving. DJ Moore, 880. Keenan Allen, 1,030. And in Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs, the top two wide receivers, Gabe, for the Green Bay Packers, 793, 806. So if you combine the two numbers for each of those teams, the Packers are the worst team from the duo standpoint for production for their wide receivers.
And it's not just the NFC North. Like, you take a look at some of the other teams in the NFC. Like, the Eagles have pretty dynamic receivers. Other teams that won their division last year, the Rams, especially with the addition. Yeah, they lost Cooper Kupp. Guess what? They probably feel like they got better because they added Devontae Adams to go along with Puka Nacua. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers with, you know, keeping Godwin. Then they go out and get a Buka. And they have all these top-tier teams. Teams that were hosting playoff games in the NFC a year ago have top-flight weapons on the outside. And this gets the Packers closer to that. I'm not quite sure. I don't want to like, oh, this guy's going to step in and have 1,000 yards this year.
Because it's tough in your first season.
Because it's tough in your first season. But, you know, you take a look at some of the other guys that have developed as Packers, have developed across the NFL. I think he can step in and have a reasonable impact. And because of, again, I keep coming back to that speed. Even if he's not going to be your number one receiver right away this year, that speed is going to have a role in this offense.
Chewy, what's reasonable? I know we talked about this, and I keep having flashbacks to it. I've talked about it before. When Jaden Reed got on the team, we were excited about him, but you said, pump the brakes, hold the phone. This is not going to be a 1,000-yard receiver in year one. So what is reasonable for a guy with Matthew Golden's resume?
50, 60 balls on the high end would be very good, I think, because he's going to step right in and probably go to X. Because Christian Watson is out, cut his teeth there. I don't know if he'll eventually move to Z. That's going to depend on his production. But I think eventually they want him at Z with Watson at X.
Yep.
So it's going to take some time. Like I said, it's a good step. It's a very good step. Don't expect magic this year because it's going to take some time for them to learn how to play together. But I think it'll definitely be an upgrade going into this year as opposed to last.
I want to get out in front of this, Chew, because I know you hate gush season. But if people are gushing about Matthew Golden during training camp,
we got to allow it.
Can I buy in? Can I buy into the gush?
I mean, he's going to catch deep balls just because of his speed.
Yep.
That's a given. That's something you should expect.
It's also a good thing.
Yeah.
Just let it be clear.
But like people are like, man, hey, this guy's smart. He's catching on to the playbook. Like if they start giving him this high praise in training camp, can I buy into the gush? Because I know we're trying hard once that part of the season rolls around not to buy into the gush the way we did with Rashawn Gary this year or the defense 2 or 3 years ago. Like we're trying hard, but I feel like I want to buy into the gush if it starts happening.
Well, the only way I'm going to allow you to gush is, A, if he gets off a bump because his size was an issue, right? His size, he's 5'11", which is a little small, but fine. His size is an issue, and I'm going to see what kind of route runner he is. It's going to take time to pick this up because, you know, the coverages are so much more prevalent in the NFL than it is the college. College, they probably... I mean, they're not playing. They're probably playing half of the amount of coverages that the NFL does.
I want to, first of all, thank Chewy for giving us the experience and the measured takes here. But as somebody who's waited 22 years for this and was elated that they drafted a wide receiver in the first round, I'm going to gush and you can't stop me. I just want that out there. I don't care if you're going to tell me, hey, calm down, slow down. I mean, when they make a pick at 23 of a wide receiver – they want him to be the Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings. This is a guy they want to use a Swiss Army knife. He's going to obviously start in the Z. We know that because we're not going to have Christian Watson, but they're going to want him in the slot. They're going to want him outside. They're going to want him in all sorts of ways contributing to the team because that's what this pick means in terms of where it went. At 23rd overall, this is a guy that they have – a ton of plans for moving into the future. It's not just we'll see if Dontavian Wicks can contribute and get better. This is, hey, you're going to be a contributor and you're going to be a part of this offense moving forward.
I just don't think we can say this enough, guys. 4.29.
Yes.
4.29. 4.29. That is how fast Matthew Golden ran the 40. And we were ecstatic when they added Christian Watson, who ran the 40 in 4.36. And I know that those are just like hairs of a second, milliseconds and whatnot, but it is still faster.
Yep.
So like to your point, Joshy, I'm going to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be thrilled about what this guy can do. And again, I keep going back to this. Taking nothing away from some of these players, even taking nothing away from Jaden Reed, who played at Michigan State, albeit a down team in the Big Ten, this is big-time college football, guys. Texas football is no joke, and they're playing SEC competition week in and week out, and they are not just, you know, showing up and I'm walking out of the stadium, they are competing at a high level, and Matthew Golden was the best of the best there. I just don't think that you can say enough about what that experience and how that translates to the league, how it should, Joshy, shrink the learning curve that some of these other guys have gone through.
I think that matters too, and if you look at Golden, he kind of came on late in the year, and his best games were like his last four. If you look at his game log and the teams he was playing and the guys he was beating across from him as he was the main contributor on offense at the wide receiver position for Texas, like, that stuff matters. People pointed to not having 1,000 yards, but he transferred from Houston, came to Texas, kind of slow come along, and we all know what happened with their quarterback situation. They were supposed to be a first-round pick at quarterback for Texas, which was not the case. So there's plenty of factors that went into this, but his explosiveness and the way he's an athlete, I mean, it just – through the season, it just made sense. And he was a huge contributor in the college football playoff.
Gabe, do you remember that game against Arizona State? Texas-Arizona State?
Oh, yeah. Yep,
oh, yep. It was an epic game, right? And Cam Scataboo was, like, putting the team on his back. They send it to overtime. You know who had a 4th-and-13 touchdown catch in an overtime game?
Matthew Golden.
Like, so you can find these clips, Joshy, to your point of how impactful he was for a playoff team down the stretch. And we all remember the Arizona State Texas game. It was one of the premier games that had everybody glued to their set.
And Chewy, I know you said, hey, 5'11, it's not the biggest. I mean, he's pretty similar size to Greg Jennings.
Yep.
No, like, that's kind of what I think.
It's fine to go.
You know, like, you can overcome that in a big way the way Greg Jennings does.
It's fine to gush, but there's going to be growing pains, people.
Okay, I stopped listening when he said it's fine to gush.
Yeah. Ashy, can you just cut the part where it says it's fine to gush, so then that way we can throw it back at him whenever he says we can't.
Sorry, am I supposed to play music underneath this? My bad.
What do rookie
But I will cut that because I do have a promo idea.
Only when he's talking. I thought we had established this. I know you. I see that's what you've been doing in this segment.
What do rookie receivers do?
They make mistakes?
No. Catch a bunch of touchdowns.
No. What do they do?
Have 1,500 yards.
No.
That's what Randy Moss did.
Drop passes?
Wait, keep guessing.
Thank you. Thank you. They all
Yeah, but to be fair, they all dropped passes this year. They didn't have to be a rookie. All of the Packers pass catchers, maybe with the exception of Tucker Kraft, because I still consider him in the pass catchers. And I really hope, guys, that that's the thing. When I was thinking last night on the set, it was like Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed. You got to throw a random extra piece of the offense in there. Like, it's going to be good. That feels really good. Josh Jacobs was the second one I said.
Yeah. Said it.
Sorry.
Chewy, also, I don't think any of us expect here, like, 90 catches, 1,200 yards, and 10 touchdowns.
No.
Ease them in. Like you said, 50, 60 on the high end.
Sure.
800 yards at the high end.
Yeah, I did the top eight list, you know, of last rookie receivers. Yeah. Last eight rookie receivers that have 500 yards or more.
Yep.
It went all the way back to James Lofton. James Lofton should no longer be on that list at the end of 2025.
Yeah.
I'm expecting over 500 yards from Matthew Golden, and I feel like that is
that's fair.
Very reasonable.
That's fair expectation.
Go ahead and YouTube up, guys, Matthew Golden highlights from the college football playoff. You can watch the Arizona State game. You can watch him have an 8-reception, 162-yard game against Georgia in the SEC championship game. What, you're saying we shouldn't do this?
Well, I'm just saying, like, YouTube highlights – they can make you excited about anybody. Like, I bet there is a hype video out there.
I thought that's where we were this morning.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm sure there's a video out there on YouTube that could get you excited about Shamar Stewart, should you decide you wanted to get excited about Shamar.
It's a little tougher. I did it. I went down that road.
Is it a shorter video? Of course it's a shorter video.
But it's got the music.
Yeah.
It's, all the flashy edits. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Somebody could put music to what we're doing right now, sitting in this garage at the Tundra Trio just outside of Lambeau Field, and make it, you know, more exciting than it is. But we are very excited. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. There's the music again. See? Oh, sorry. I thought he was talking to you on the air. He wasn't. Nope. It was in his ears.
Wow. Wow. You know who else has only done that? That's a Chewy move.
I'm sorry.
Chewy
move.
That was on me. I'll take the blame again.
The producer talking in your ear, and you think it goes out over.
I thought he was.
I'll just take the blame. That's fine. I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame again. My bad. My fault again.
But when he weighs in, it sounds the exact same.
Nope. It comes through one ear.
Do you guys have pops? Were there some pops last night, or what's going on here?
I had no pops.
I had a singular pop once we got back to
singular pop, and then I passed out.
How many pops did you have?
That's classified.
That's a great answer, Your Honor. I cannot recall. I cannot confirm, deny.
On advice of counsel, I'm taking the fifth.
It's draft week in Green Bay and playoff time for the NBA and our favorite daily fantasy sports app with the absolute largest payouts on parlays is Wanna Parlay. WANNA. It's just $2 for a shot at taking home a huge cash prize, and it's a blast and so simple to use. And there are new basketball, hockey, baseball, and combat sports contests every single week. And again, the best part, it is only $2 to enter a parlay into the contest. And as you know, there are always free-to-play games as well. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app today. Click around. And when you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match. That's code JGC. And let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
have. Eight. Six.
Seven.
Seven. I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost. 6-7-5-3-0-9
on 94.5 ESPN.
A batted ball, first possession for Texas, trying to bounce back. Goes to the end zone. It is a one-handed grab and a Texas touchdown by Matthew Golden.
You cannot temper our enthusiasm for the first-round pick, Matthew Golden, by the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay, night one of the NFL draft, years in the making. It was all amazing. The crowd was incredible, and we feel so lucky now to have Jason Wilde joining us to give us some reaction to the pick. All right, Jason, should we be as excited as we are about Matthew Golden, the first wide receiver taken in the first round since Javon Walker? And maybe we can retire talking about Javon Walker at this point now, right? Maybe it can only come up in, like, your top 8 at 8 lists.
I mean, by the time we get to the end of the season, we'll finally retire the Javon Walker talk.
To answer your question, should you be this excited? No. You should be even more.
Gush. Sorry about it, Chew, but not really.
All right, so here's why. Then Chewy can bring us all back down to earth. I thought of you. First of all, I think of Gabe a lot.
Oh, nice.
It's another discussion for me and my therapist. But I thought of you twice last night.
Okay.
I thought of you when Shamar Stewart came off the board.
Thank you.
We all did.
And the joy that you must have felt.
Jen ran over from the stage to went, Gabe, we did it.
Just like Giannis with Chris. Gabe, we did it, huh?
That's amazing. That's almost as good as Matthew. It's almost as good as Matthew Golden grabbing the microphone on the stage, which I don't think you're supposed to do, which, again, underscores how exciting last night was. But then I thought of you again when he was selected, and the first thought I had was, how can you – you know, the old line from Moneyball, how can you not be romantic about baseball? How can you not be excited after the whole thing, and look, I was proud of Goody last night. He had a great line during our press conference about, Mark just went up there and said the name. I drafted somebody else. It was great. But when you listen to Goody talk about the process, and, it was such a crazy, crazy night. I'm still finishing my story for Channel 3000 because I really wanted to take people kind of behind the scenes. We saw the front-facing scenes were incredible.
Spectacular.
I mean, 205,000 people and, 80%, maybe more, are Packers fans. This was a local draft. Like, this was not – I went into this thinking, oh, my God, how are we going to fit 300,000 people from out of town into tiny Green Bay, Wisconsin? Yeah, I saw jerseys of every stripe and color, but this was a Packers draft. And then for Mark Murphy to step to the podium and – deliver. I thought, I give him a hard time because he thinks he's like Frank Caliendo. He's not a stand-up comic, but I thought he met the moment and then to announce a wide receiver given the history, and for it to be this wide receiver, I mean, he just oozed charisma and likability. And if you've watched him play, if you watched him with Texas, I have to be honest, I had to go back into the highlight archive. You know, I'm a big YouTube highlight scout to find his Houston stuff, but he was a stud last year. And most importantly, he was a stud in the two of the biggest games of the year, the SEC title game and the first playoff game. And so, you know, and then for him, you know, he had a great line, too, about how he's going to come over and get a workout in at Lambeau tonight before he went back to the hotel. Like, I just – his talent, his speed, fastest guy in the draft. Not the second fastest, not the third fastest guy in the draft. Fastest guy in the draft.
And faster than Christian Watson, which is what I said. Like, we all were like, whoa, Christian Watson, speed demon. Well, he ran a faster 40.
And look, I love it when Goody makes old guy references like the Mendoza line, which I think younger folks don't remember Mendoza and his 200 batting average. But, you know, he barely meets the Mendoza line for height. But the guy he reminds me of, except extremely fast, which is not this guy's forte, is Greg Jennings. Kind of the same build, the same size, great hands, and he's just such a fluid, smooth athlete. Like, I said this to Balaga when we were on the Homer Hour and when we were on stage last night. You know, I remember talking to Ted Thompson back in 2010 when he would come and talk to each of us back then, like off the podium. And he just kept, Jason, I can't believe he was there. Can't believe he was still there at 23. Well, guess what? I can't believe Matthew Golden was there at 23 yesterday.
All right, you ready to temper it?
Yeah, you're going to ruin it. I know you, you party pooper. I had such a bad night last night. I can't even get into, I mean, I left my car running for 11 hours, so that'll be a story that you'll want to tune into.
Who are you, Homer?
You needed to issue a silver alert for me. And then I'm walking, and I think I tore my plantar fascia like you, so I'm limping all the way over here. I am a mess. I am a 78-year-old man today. So go ahead. Temper my enthusiasm.
Make it worse.
And I love the pick, Jason. I love the pick, but you have to investigate this thing. Jason, you've heard us say a million times, never get too high, never get too low.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Abuka go before Golden when most of the mock drafts had Golden going the third receiver and Abuka going four?
Well, some of them that I saw, and again, let's call mock drafts what they are. They're guesses. Mm-hmm. They're like me with my bracket this year, which, by the way, first year I didn't pick a team that was a number one seed to go in all four.
Oops.
So, again, maybe this all dates back to my bracket. But you're right. And, look, I think it's okay to be swept up in the first 24 hours, and then we'll go further into it, and we'll talk about, you know, how he fits and how he's going to transition. Now, we've heard Goody talk a lot about, and this is definitely true compared to your days, that wide receivers are able to contribute more quickly than ever before. And there was a time, I remember doing my previews in the early 2000s and writing about how, you know, all these guys, who was the seventh round pick that went to the Saints, and he was a 1,000-yard receiver as a rookie?
Marcus Colston.
Thank you.
Oh, Colston.
No, Marcus Colston. Okay. I knew I could count on Gabe.
Encyclopedia Gabe over here.
Right. But the reason why he was so significant is because he was such a unicorn in terms of a wide receiver as a rookie and then as a seventh-round pick being that productive. So they're more NFL-ready. Offenses are more catered to them. I think he's positioned to take care of that biggest concern of KBN was the idea that, well, Goody said the first-round pick doesn't have to contribute. Newsflash, now that they know who that first-round pick is, he is going to have to contribute at that position. Right. But, Chewy, I don't disagree with you that, look, he's just starting his journey, right? We're going to find out more about what kind of player he is. Certainly, he could be Sterling Sharp or James Lofton. He could be Javon Walker, who shot across the sky with one great season. Or maybe he's Greg Jennings, who turns out to be, for 7 years, a very good player for them. We don't know that. But my point is that in the moment, I mean, there was no such feeling about Jordan Morgan. And I don't dislike Jordan Morgan, But this is it. How often do the Packers do something in the draft where you are that excited? Like, when's the like, even with Jordan Love, you're like, holy blank. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't an excitement.
Different kind of emotion.
Yeah, it wasn't exciting. There was a lot of emotion behind it, but it was more.
Yikes. Yeah. Wow. Holy yeah. God. I don't believe they did
that. Just wait. They just took somebody that's not going to be able to help them in 2020 after going to an NFC championship.
And that's part of the reason why I think Goody said what he said, because it was more of like, well, look what I've done. No, obviously guys don't have to contribute right away. But also we were saying there's a difference when you draft a skill position player with your first pick. And oh, by the way, at this position, you need someone to contribute right away, right? You didn't go out and get Devontae Adams, so this was the spot where you needed to bolster that. We talked earlier in the show, Jason, the distinction between the top two wide receivers for the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears, even with rookie Caleb Williams throwing, and the top two wide receivers production for the Packers is a galaxy. Unfortunately, hopefully this changes that. We do have to take a quick break. Stay with us. We'll have you round out the show with us before you head to your show, Wildy and Tausch. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you are planning to visit Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's conveniently located in the heart of downtown Milwaukee's theater district with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, and on-site art galleries and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. I believe we had some partners who were in from out of town who were staying at St. Kate last night as they came up and back and forth for the draft as well. So, you know, we put our money where our mouth is. For a limited time, enjoy exclusive seasonal rates starting at $139 per night. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. More with Jason Wildy right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No. Not how this
works. Boy.
That's not how any of this
works.
That's
how you make content.
What do you mean? What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here with Jason Wildy at the Tundra Trio, just outside of Lambeau Field, still reveling in all the celebration and excitement of the first round of the NFL draft. And I told you guys, I put $50 down at Pottawatomie on plus 700 for the Packers to take a wide receiver with the first pick. So I am really feeling myself today.
Breakfast on Jen this morning.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snackies.
Jason, real quick, who was trying to trade up into that spot? Do you have any idea?
Philly. I think the Giants, and then there were other teams too. And I'm glad that was the thing that I wanted to get to before we ran out of time. We can always eat up the time from that next show. That show sucks. But I thought it was fascinating that Goody was brutally honest about there were other players he really liked and that the trade offers were very tempting. So it's really interesting to me that he still picked Golden. But as I said to Goody last night, you've always told us not to fall in love with a player. And I said, there are exceptions. Ted fell in love with Clay Matthews. I don't think the NFL loved Clay Matthews at the start of the draft yesterday, but be that as it may. But he did not. He was not, like, in love with Matthew Golden. Like, let's not make it seem like he had his little Post-it note that said Matthew Golden no matter what. He had other options. He decided this one was the best option. I thought that was a great answer from Goody because the easy thing, like we have gotten swept up in, is, oh, my God, I loved him when he came for the visit. I loved him at his pro day. He was my guy all along. I was just praying he'd be there. That wasn't the case.
If I saw Howie Roseman's number show up on my phone, Jason, I would answer it and go, bleep off, Howie. Boop. Okay.
He must have made some pretty good offers,
with
though.
The Philadelphia Eagles, for goodness sakes, the defending Super Bowl champs. That's our time. Thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. The conversation continues on Jason Wildy's show, which is Wildy and Tausch. Oh, there's Tausch walking in the door. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you again on Monday.